Last but not least, we have David Ryssuk. I think people stick around not only because it's ethics, but he's also an excellent speaker. David is a professor of law and dean of faculty research and development at Mercer Law School. He joined Mercer and has taught, joined Mercer in 2002 and taught ethics, torts, remedies, patent law and litigation, civil procedure and other courses. He also served as a law clerk to Chief Judge Rader. And he's also authored the only treatise on ethical issues in patent litigation. He's also co-authored the only treatise on ethical issues in patent prosecution and provided hundreds of presentations on ethics and intellectual property law. He's now a solo practitioner representing practitioners and others before the Office of Enrollment and Discipline and in other disciplinary matters, consulting with firms about ethical issues and serving as an expert witness. He's also a registered mediator. Please welcome David Ryssuk.
Howdy, y'all. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. We had some logistical hiccups, to put it mildly, and I was really bummed because at the Saxon Pub tonight, one of my favorite bands is playing, and I was all excited about seeing them. So if you've got nothing to do, go by and see The Wind and the Wave at the Saxon Pub. I used to live in Austin and also just like that place. Oddly enough, yesterday or the day before yesterday, I guess it was, I was testifying as an expert witness in a disqualification motion, and some of the issues that I'm going to talk about today came up in that hearing. I think it was Wednesday, so 2 days ago. During the hearing, you guys will appreciate this. You know, it was kind of odd because, you know, normally a motion to disqualify is decided, at least in my experience, on the papers. But we had an evidentiary hearing, which primarily consisted of me testifying. The lawyer, of course, you know, cross-examined me, and he used one of those books that was mentioned in the beginning to in his cross. And I don't think it went well because he would quote parts of the book and ignore the parts that applied to what I was testifying about. And of course, on redirect, the lawyer cleaned that up. But I said out loud at one point, it's a lot easier to ask the questions than it is to answer them. And the judge got a kick out of that. And I think the lawyers did too. So let me tell you what we're gonna do today. We're gonna look at four questions fundamentally. And the first one's separate from the others. The other three are pretty kind of related. And I'll add some detail to them as we go forward. But the first one is that you represent Company A and you sue its affiliate, Company B. And they have the same healthcare provider and they use the same email servers as Company A. But the suit has nothing to do with healthcare or servers. So if some of you are already thinking, well, why did you put that fact up there? Just wait. And that, by the way, that issue had something to do with what I talked about the other day or testified about the other day. These next three issues come up in IP practice a bunch, and then the latter two have just led to some really interesting ethics opinions. And again, they're related to each other. And again, I'll put more detail on them, a little bit more detail on them later on. But so with this one, the defendant moves to dismiss for improper venue. Right, so you've sued them, and they file a motion to dismiss for improper venue, and they include an affidavit swearing that it doesn't sell any products in the district, it doesn't have an office in the district, and when you go to do your opposition, either you or a private investigator, it doesn't matter, you interview a defendant's employee at a trade show. This isn't, you know, super secret. You just walk up at a trade show and you say, hey, do you sell products here, have an office here? And they say, well, you know, of course we do. So then you include that, you know, transcript or recording of it, what have you, in your opposition. Did you do anything wrong? What about this one, right? You conclude opposing defense counsel isn't forwarding your settlement offers to his client. And you'll see why I put the word client in quote marks when we get further into this. And so you tell your client to send the proposal right to her, and they do so. Did you do anything wrong when you did that? And then finally, and this is the one that I updated the paper because there's now, I think, a total of 8 bar opinions about this issue. And they're all over the map, quite literally. They're from everywhere from New Jersey to California. No, Colorado.